Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Sunday, we heard how Christ is the true Son of God and true Israel, the one who came to get it right, where the nation of Israel, also called the Son of God in Scripture, got it wrong. That ties in beautifully with Isaiah chapter 42. The first half of this chapter we considered together back on the festival of Jesus' baptism. And there we heard the Lord's commissioning of Christ, His servant, to be a covenant to the people, a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. In this second half of that same chapter that we have before us this evening, we're given a glimpse not of Christ, but of the nation of Israel, also called here the Lord's servant. The servant that needed saving by the servant. The servant who had blind eyes that needed to be opened by the Christ. Israel, the servant of the Lord, who needed to be saved by Christ, the true servant of the Lord. And remember, while these things were said originally to Old Testament Israel, you and I and all Christians have been brought into the spiritual church of Israel, as the same prophet Isaiah says repeatedly in this part of his book. And so God has something to say to us here too. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. 70 years, the time of Israel's captivity in Babylon, was a long time for the Lord to hold His peace, to watch His beloved people of Israel sitting there in exile in a foreign land. He had restrained Himself from stepping in to save them from their captivity because they needed this punishment. And not only they, you and I, and the rest of the nations throughout history needed to see what happens to God's people when those very people turn to false gods, to those who refuse to repent of their sins, to those who live for themselves and reject God's covenant of peace, as Israel had stubbornly done. So God let the punishment sink in and do its job to bring them to repentance and to teach all men that judgment is coming, even against those who were once called the people of God, if they will not repent. But now, toward the end of Israel's time in captivity, God was ready to deliver His people from bondage, and He would remove all the obstacles that stood in the way of that deliverance. But these verses also refer to a much greater deliverance. 4,000 years was truly a long time for God to hold His peace since the creation of the world, to watch mankind plunge itself deeper and deeper into sin and rebellion, to watch men die one after another, with no Savior to make atonement for their sins, to show them just how much God truly desires to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. But finally, it was time for God to step in, to send His Christ into the world, and to show the world who exactly He is. the God who would give his Son to suffer and die for the sins of the world, and then to send that gospel out into all the nations of the world. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. What is this blindness that God is promising to cure for the people of Israel? It's obviously not physical blindness, as he says in the next few verses. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. See how God refers to his people Israel in these verses as his servant. The servant who was needy, the servant who was blind, the servant who was deaf. Israel was supposed to be God's servant on earth, his messenger. But they were blinded by their stubbornness, rebellion, arrogance, and idolatry. This is a spiritual blindness and deafness that the Lord is promising to heal, the blindness of missing the obvious that the God of the Bible is the true God, that he is our Creator, that we owe him our service, our obedience, that he is good and generous, and that all his ways are always right. All of those truths are staring us in the face, and yet sometimes we're blind to them. There was much blindness and deafness of that sort in Israel, and there is much blindness and deafness in those who call themselves Christians too. But God sent his Son into the world, and he has sent the gospel of Christ out into the world to bring us into the light of understanding. Understanding our need to repent and God's merciful promise to forgive us through faith in Christ Jesus. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers. For plunder, and no one says, restore. Again, the Lord is describing his wayward servant, his people of Israel, spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually hidden in prison houses of the devil's making, even as they were literally being held in captivity in Babylon, though not behind bars. They went from being a great nation under David and under Solomon to being a rather pathetic people. But how? Why? Isaiah asks them those very questions for them to ponder and consider. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know. And it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. Israel was robbed and plundered and turned into a pathetic people by God's own doing. It was his punishment for some, his discipline for others, because they would not walk in his ways, nor would they repent. God gave them over to punishment after punishment prior to their exile from Babylon, and still they refused to acknowledge that their suffering was the result of their own sins and rebellion. Still, they refused to turn back to the Lord in humility, in sorrow over their sins. What a healthy reminder this is for Christians. We wonder sometimes how the Christian church fell into the sad state it's in today, hopelessly fractured, scattered, filled with false doctrine and with every form of hypocrisy, and openly defending sinful practices as if one could live in willful sin against God and still be called good Christians. Yes, the devil and the world have been out to get the church from the beginning, but we have to acknowledge the failures within the church and the resulting suffering that the Lord has allowed to come upon the church. And I'm not talking about the failure of Christians to rise up in some political movement or failures to speak out against the sins of society. I'm talking about the failure of Christians to repent of their own sins against God's commandments. I'm talking about the church's failure to practice discipline within the church, to call sinners to repent and to excommunicate the stubbornly impenitent. I'm also talking about the church's failure to guard its doctrines carefully, to insist on the pure teaching of God's word and the administration of the sacraments, and the failure to love as Jesus has called us to love. Now, I say these things about the outward, visible church in the world, which is similar in many ways to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And we should always evaluate to what extent those charges apply to us. But God always preserves a remnant of faithful, penitent Christians in the world, just as He did at the time of Elijah and Isaiah and afterward in Israel. And He uses the words of His prophets, like Isaiah, and the words of His ministers to keep the faithful living in repentance. It's not automatic. He uses the words of His prophet to give us hope, even as we see how dire things look all around us, as they looked even more dire for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. In a spiritual sense, the blindness of the whole nation of Israel was never removed. Think of how many people at the time of Jesus remained blind and deaf and unbelieving, even with Jesus Himself preaching to them in the flesh. But every time the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit is there holding out the light of Christ, the true servant of God, so that those who hear may be led to see things clearly, to evaluate their hearts and lives, to repent where they need to repent, and to turn always in faith to the Lord Jesus, who promises to open our eyes and lead us out of the prison house, who promises grace and mercy and the forgiveness of sins and deliverance from the pathetic state of things in the church and in this world, to give us eternal life and lasting peace with Him after this life. May the light of Christ, God's true servant, continue to enlighten our hearts and minds. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.